It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hello there, and welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being here. On today's show, we have an excellent guest, Dr. Lisa Abade, a gynecological oncologist in Newport Beach and a member of Gynecologic Oncology Associates. Dr. Abade treats cancers of the female pelvis, primarily ovarian, uterine, and cervical cancer. Obstetrician, gynecologist, you know, she does it all, specializes in reproductive endocrinology and the whole deal. Welcome, Dr. Abade.
Hi, thank you.
You know, is there always pain associated with gynecologic cancer?
With ovarian cancer in particular, early cancers typically do not cause pain. As cancers become more advanced, we do sometimes see painful symptoms, but one of the most common early warning signs is actually bloating or feeling very full. So a lot of my patients have come to me after being seen by a gastroenterologist because they have more bowel or gastrointestinal symptoms than symptoms that are typically associated with a gynecologic problem.
Wow. Okay, so bloating, feeling full, not necessarily something you'd relate to, you know, think, oh, I have cancer, right?
Right.
So what are there any other symptoms in the beginning stages?
The pelvic pain can be something, pelvic or back pain can be something some women see. With ovarian cancer in particular, it doesn't typically cause vaginal bleeding or discharge, but every now and then we'll see that as well. Mm-hmm. And feelings of a lot of women say they thought they were just gaining weight. Their belly starts to, their pants get a little bit tight. Their belly starts to look a little more swollen, and sometimes that can be a sign of fluid or a mass building up in your belly rather than just gaining weight. So if you notice that your clothes aren't fitting like normal.
Okay. So what's the first thing a woman should do if she experiences any of these symptoms?
The first thing would be to see your regular gynecologist and have an exam. Many times a mass can be felt on exam, but every now and then they're difficult to feel. And so if a mass is not palpated but those symptoms are present, then something like an ultrasound would be very helpful to visualize, to see the ovaries and see if there's anything that looks suspicious for cancer.
Okay, so that's the first step. And then let's say we do find something. At what point do you bring in a specialist?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your last question.
Yeah, okay, at what point do we bring in a specialist then?
So typically when there's a finding on exam, so if an ultrasound shows normal ovaries, sometimes I'll see women just to try to help clarify, you know, in spite of a normal ultrasound, we'll take a look and see if there's something else that might explain it. But most of the patients that I see are women who have had an ultrasound. We find a mass on the ovary, not clear whether it's cancer or not, but it's a possibility, and then they come to see me.
Now, if it's not cancer, what could this mass be? Could it be a fibroid or?
Yeah, the most common thing that we'll find on ovaries is a benign cyst. So on an ultrasound, you can see if there's a growth or a mass, but an ultrasound can't tell if something is cancerous or not.
Okay.
There's some other things like a blood test that we can do called a CA125, and it's not a perfect test. It's not a good screening test, but it's a test that can be abnormal in women with cancer. It can also be abnormal in women who have benign conditions. So it's just a little more information to help us to decide whether or not we think something is cancer.
Okay, an indicator. And then what would you do after that? What would be the next step?
If we do find something on a scan or an ultrasound or a CAT scan, the next step is typically to do surgery, either with a camera or sometimes, depending on the size of the mass or other findings, we have to make an incision. But we want to look at the ovary, and generally in a woman who is past the age of menopause, if we see a mass on the ovary, the safest thing to do is to remove it so we can look at it under a microscope. And that's really the only way to tell with 100% certainty if something is cancer or not, is to remove it and look at it under a microscope.
Okay. Do you remove the whole thing or just perform a biopsy?
For women who are over the age of menopause, we do recommend removing the whole ovary. If there is a cancer on the ovary, you don't want to cut into the ovary or leave part of the mass behind. Mm-hmm. For young women or women who are trying to preserve fertility, those women are at a lower risk for cancer, and so oftentimes we'll do a cystectomy where we just remove the cyst and leave the ovary. But past the age of menopause, there's no benefit to leave the ovary in, and there are some risks if there's a question of a cancer in that ovary.
If the cyst is benign, can you just leave it there, or will it grow and cause other kinds of problems?
That's a good point. part of the struggle is that we can't say for sure if something is benign until we take it out and look at it. There's not a good way to biopsy it. So if there was some way that we could know or predict that something was benign, then it may never cause problems. But you're right, even a benign mass can, over time, can grow, can twist, which can be a very painful condition, or can push on the bowels or the bladder. So even if something is benign, there are times where it makes sense to remove it.
Right. Do we know what causes these cysts and these tumors?
So for benign cysts, you know, we really don't have a good reason why one person develops them and another doesn't. We think that cysts developing in the ovaries of postmenopausal women is probably a very common thing, more common than we think, just because we don't look frequently with ultrasound. In terms of ovarian cancer, there are about 10% of women who develop ovarian cancer have an associated genetic mutation called a BRCA mutation, which is associated with both breast and ovarian cancer. But 90% of women do not have that mutation, do not have a strong family history, and those are what we would consider sporadic or, you know, just an accident, so to speak, that occurred in the genetic material of the ovary that caused the cancer to develop.
Okay, and you're really being quite specific. It's hereditary and not environmental.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
You really seem to be specific in that it's genetic and not environmental.
I'm sorry. For some reason, I'm not hearing your words clearly.
Okay. You're being specific in that it is genetic and not environmental, correct?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we do think about 10% is genetic, and there's a question of some environmental links with ovarian cancer, but they're weak. So 90% of cases are not genetic, and as best as we can tell, there's really no environmental things that cause women to develop ovarian cancer.
What if you have a mom and a grandma who had ovarian cancer, but you have no symptoms? Would you be getting yearly checkups anyway?
For women who have symptoms or women, I'm sorry, with a history?
Yeah, if their mom and their grandma had ovarian cancer, but you have no symptoms yourself, would it still be prudent to get checked?
Sure. So the question would be, there are times where a family member has cancer, but it's not associated with a genetic mutation. That would be good information to know. If a first or second degree female relative had cancer but were negative for carrying that BRCA mutation, then the woman who's related to them would not be at risk because there's not thought to be a possibility of passing down that mutation. If they knew that a mother or grandmother did carry that mutation, then you'd want to get tested. If you tested positive, then yes, we do more intensive following or surveillance for women who we know have an extra high risk of cancer. If they tested negative for the mutation, then they would be followed the same way with just annual exams.
Okay, annual exams for everybody. And certainly for people who have any kind of history of ovarian cancer in their family.
Exactly, yeah, and that would be something to at least see your gynecologist, possibly an oncologist, and also a genetic counselor is a really valuable resource. They can help look at the family tree, look at the family history, and help to decide whether there's a high risk of carrying a mutation, and then can facilitate getting that testing performed.
Okay, that's great advice. Does ovarian cancer usually affect both ovaries?
It depends on if it's early or if it's more advanced. Some of the early cancers just affect one ovary, but over time, if they grow and develop, then they will frequently spread to the other ovary. But for an earlier stage 1 cancer, especially in a young woman who is trying to preserve fertility, there are times where we can remove one ovary, keep the other ovary, and do that in a safe way so that they can try to conceive if that's what they desire.
Okay. And then these surgeries you're talking about, can they be done with minimally invasive surgeries technique or robotic surgery?
Answer, yes, exactly. So robotic surgery is a fancy form of laparoscopy. The tools that we use with robotic surgery give us a little more dexterity and allow us to do more complicated surgeries through little tiny incisions. And so for earlier stage 1 cancers that are just confined to the ovary, we can do the whole surgery with the little, with the robot. We can take some lymph nodes out. For more advanced cancers, we have to make an incision because we're usually dealing with a large mass.
Okay, great information, Doctor. We've been speaking with Dr. Lisa Abade about the early warning signs and early detection of ovarian cancer and some of the treatments. Coming up, we will talk about some of the current robotic surgeries that are now available to women with gynecological cancer. For more information on Dr. Abade, you can visit hoaghospital.org, and you can also listen to a podcast of this show whenever you like and tell a friend. It's very important. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. Please stay with us. There's much, much more to come.